So we bring in Adam Vingan for his insights. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. So, Adam, since we last talked, right, I don't know that the Predators have lost, right? I think they were just starting this streak when we last spoke to you. It was around the time of the trading deadline. We were still wondering what was the right move. We were talking about adds and even players that they would subtract. So, first, now that you see the finished product, they have traded Yakov Trenin. They have brought in Jason Zucker and Anthony Beauvillier, and they didn't pay a big price for either guy. What do you think the net result is?
Yeah, that's a good question. And by the way, I think the last time we spoke was the day that Tommy Novak signed his contract.
Oh, that's right.
I remember.
Yes, that's correct.
And I wasn't far off, I don't think.
I think you were right there.
I think I said $3 million per season. So not terribly off. I'll pat myself on the back for that one.
And you should also get patted on the back for your prices for the rentals, right? You threw out almost the exact price that Florida paid for a Vladimir Tarasenko. We were kicking around the different names, and it all opened up in the next couple of days after that.
Well, I appreciate you stroking my ego. When I look at what the Predators have been able to do, and I went and pulled some numbers just looking at the span of time of this point streak, which started February 17th on the road against St. Louis. So I looked at their traditional numbers and some of their underlying numbers, which are typically predictive of success. So as you said, Willie, the Predators have been dominant in terms of goal differential. They're averaging more than 4 goals per game during this point streak, which since February 17th is the highest total in the league, 4.07 to be exact. So first in the league in goals per game. They're also tied for first in the league in goals against per game during the point streak. They have allowed 1.93 goals against, which is tied for first with the Carolina Hurricanes, who by many accounts are a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. And then I looked under the hood a little bit, and the one thing I looked at, among other things, is the expected number, which we've talked a lot about. And Willie, I know you pay very close attention to these things. The expected goals for and against are often reliable barometers for how a team is playing. For the Predators, in expected goals for per game during this point streak are 7th in the NHL. And on the other side of the ice, expected goals against, they're 1st. So they are playing dominant in their own end. They're 1st in expected goals against and 1st in actual goals against. So that speaks to the goaltending they've been receiving. But it's not a case of, as we saw last year, for example. Think about how this team played down the stretch last year after the trade deadline. They were winning a lot of games. That was mostly, if not all, on the back of UC Saros. He had saved a ridiculous amount of goals above expected, and their actual defensive numbers were pretty poor. You could chalk that up completely up to goaltending, that UC Saros was trying to will the Predators into the postseason almost single-handedly. That has not been the case during this point streak. Not only have he and Kevin Lankinen been great, but the team in front of them has played outstanding defense. So when you look at this point streak as a whole, there's nothing fluky about this. The numbers over the past 14 games show that this team is playing incredibly well, and the fact that they've been able to sustain it for the past month is very encouraging.
So I think that's an interesting point that I'm not sure the rest of the league has really caught on to, unless you're somebody who really pays attention to these numbers. Because I think it's easy to say, oh, Nashville, they're on a roll right now. But as you've said, that it's not just a hot goalie or they're getting all of the bounces. They've been deserving of having success here because of the formula. And I have to go back. It's still, because you look at the names on the paper, Adam, it doesn't jump out at you, as everybody knows, as an all-star studded lineup. You know, their stars are playing well. But on paper, this shouldn't be a team like that. So I go back to the effect of Andrew Brunette. What are your thoughts on that? He's got to be starting to get some consideration for the Jack Adams, doesn't he?
Yeah, probably. And, you know, I think of the other candidates that come off the top of my head. Oftentimes you can look at a you know, a team that's playing well and point to their coach getting Jack Adams consideration. Oftentimes, though, I feel like the formula for the Jack Adams, and correct me if I'm wrong, Willie, you vote on the Jack Adams, correct?
Correct. The broadcasters have the vote for the Jack Adams.
Right.
And I will tell you, it's hard because every year there's at least six or seven that you can make a case for.
Right. And oftentimes I feel like the formula is coach of a team that nobody expected to be good at the start of the season.
Yes, that's one for sure category. No question.
So Andrew Burnett would certainly fall into that category. I think of the job that John Tortorella has done in Philadelphia to get that team into a playoff spot, an unexpected playoff spot. I'm sure he'll get a lot of love. And then, of course, the teams that are near the top of the league, like Rick Tocchet, Peter Laviolette, Jim Montgomery. Those coaches, I'm sure, will get a lot of consideration for the Coach of the Year award. But when I think about Andrew Burnett, and this was my conversation, I had this conversation a lot with Jared during the off season after the change in coaching was made. Andrew Burnett had a great record as coach of the Florida Panthers after he replaced Joel Quenneville. But that team was a wagon, to use the hockey term. I believe they were 7-0 at the time that the coaching change was made, and they ended up winning the President's Trophy that season. Now, that isn't to say that Burnett didn't have a role in helping the Panthers get there, but that team was so immensely talented that I think a lot of coaches could have had similar success. So I wouldn't say I was skeptical of Andrew Burnett, but when I looked at his record with the Panthers, I thought to myself, he had an incredibly talented team. And
right. I think that was a consensus at the time, and that's probably why they didn't keep him as the coach, which I think as they look back on it, hey, you know, Paul Maurice hasn't done half bad. They're still good. But I think that's a fair point.
Right. But now you're seeing what he has done with this team. And as you said, Willie, when you look at the roster on paper, there aren't a lot of players that pop off the page. There's Roman Josi. There's Philip Forsberg. You know, if you can include Ryan O'Reilly in there if you would like. UC Saros, of course, has been an outstanding goaltender for the past few years. But they don't necessarily have that one guy that, you know, that stands above everybody else. Just looking at the other teams in the Western Conference, there's no Connor McDavid. There's no Leon Draisaitl. There's no, Jason Robertson. There's no Elias Pettersson. Or, you know, you can keep going down the list. There's not that one guy that necessarily grabs your attention when you're looking at the roster. And when you consider what this team was expected to do, how this team had been playing for the first half or so of the season, and what they've been able to do now, where they're basically guaranteed a playoff spot. As long as they don't completely collapse and do the opposite of what they're doing right now, as long as they don't go 0-12-2, let's call it, they're probably safe to make the playoffs, which I did not expect to be the case when the season started. I absolutely believe that Andrew Burnett deserves consideration for the Jack Adams Award. But to your point, Willie, sometimes with the Predators, I know this well, you know this well, they don't always get the national attention, even when they're playing well.
Right.
So it may be harder to make that that case for Burnett in terms of his qualifications versus some of the other coaches.
We're talking with Adam Vingan discussing the Nashville Predators, who are on a heater as we speak. Now, we assume with the way they're playing, Adam, that this team will make the playoffs. More than likely, they'll be the first wild card. Which team would be a better matchup for them if they are going to advance in the playoffs?
That's a good question, because the fact that the team they're playing, you know, at this point is going to be a division winner, most likely. Well, of course, they're going to be a division winner. But, you know, it could be Vancouver. It could be Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado. The Central is very much up for grabs. Vancouver has a bit of a cushion in the Pacific Division, but they haven't been playing well lately, and Edmonton is sort of making things interesting in second place. So when Willie and I were talking about this yesterday over text, I was thinking to myself, okay, which team could present the most advantageous matchup for the Predators? And one thing I wanted to look at is how a team has been playing recently. Mm-hmm. And over the same stretch of time that the Predators are 12-0-2, the Canucks are 5-6-2, and their numbers are not good. They're 26th in the league in scoring it over that span. They're 20th in goals against. They're 26th in expected goals scored per game. Their starting goaltender, Thatcher Demko, is injured. Things have kind of gone sideways a bit in Vancouver. And depending on whether or not they're able to figure that out over the next month or so, I wonder if a hot team like the Predators playing a slumping team like the Canucks, could be advantageous to them, the Predators, that is. Now, there are other factors you have to include that aren't shown up in the numbers, like schlepping all the way to Vancouver. That's not an easy flight. I recall vividly how tired I was in 2016 flying between Nashville, Anaheim, Nashville, and San Jose, back and forth and back and forth. And I can only imagine what it's like. Yeah, a lot of miles. And I can remember, and I can only imagine what it's like.
A lot of Netflix shows in the air.
Yeah.
Or a lot of books you could read. However you like to spend your time on a flight, you've got plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly. So that plays a role in it, too. So I wonder if Vancouver can't get out of the slump, I wonder if they're ripe for the picking. And as Willie, you said to me yesterday, there's going to be a tremendous amount of pressure on the Canucks in their market, which can have a detrimental effect. You know, the other team I think about is Dallas, because they're a high scoring team, as Predators fans know. The last time they lost a game in regulation, we all saw what the Stars were capable of. But one thing about the Stars that really stands out to me is that their goaltending has not been good this year. Jay Gottlieb has not been good. The team, their goaltending has not been good. They've outscored that issue for most of the season. But if the Predators can lock things down defensively like they have been over the past month and they're able to get to Jake Oettinger, I wonder if we could see a bit of a reverse of what we saw in, 2019 when the Stars upset the Predators. I wonder if you could see a reverse of that.
Oh, man, Predator fans would enjoy that. That's for sure, if that could happen.
I think about Dallas. Like I think Vancouver, you know, if they're not able to get out of the slump, I wonder if that could be a good matchup. But I think about Dallas just because they have unreliable goaltending this year. If the Predators play as well defensively as they have over the past month, they can mitigate that. And if they can get to Jake Oettinger in net, I think the Stars could be ripe for an upset.
Adam, do you have time to hang with us for one more segment?
I do.
Okay, hang with us. We got a few more questions for you. And if you have questions for Adam, if you have Predators questions for us, text them right now or call in 615-737-1025. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stay tuned. More with Adam Vingan. We're talking Predators, and we'll have more on the other side. Hang with us. Adam Vingan is with us. Adam, D-Mace has a good question for you about the newcomers here.
Yeah, because it seems like, Adam, they've been getting a lot of good play out of the third and fourth line, and they're going to need it because that, you know, the first line is taking up, you know, carrying their weight, and they're doing a good job at it. But that second line, and I know they've added two new players, Bevilier and Zucker, to the second line, but it seems like they're not getting much out of them in regards to goal scoring. How can they get, you know, more out of them? Is it just implementing two new guys and they're still learning the system and still learning how to play with one another?
Yeah, that's also a good question. And to your point, Derek, when you look at the underlying numbers, again, of that line specifically with Anthony Beauvillier, Colton Sissons, and Jason Zucker, it hasn't been great. They have controlled 41.2% of expected goals at even strength. That's not good. You want to be over 50%. So in terms of the quality of offense, when that line is on the ice, the majority of it is going toward the other team. So that line has not stood out positively, at least according to the numbers. But the other lines that they've been relying on during this point streak have been very good. We know about Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist. The fourth line of McCarron, Sherwood, and Smith has been strong as well. But I think the line that's really stood out to me is that line with Novak, Jankowski, and Evangelista. They've been very dangerous offensively. generating high-quality chances for the Predators. So, you know, three of the four lines right now are clicking. The point, to your point, Derek, the one that isn't is the one that includes two new players. So, you know, perhaps you can chalk that up to needing to develop that chemistry, because those other lines, the three other lines, have been together for a while now. They know their tendencies. They know how they like each other like to play and how they play off of each other. You know, so your hope is that as that line, that Sisson-Zucker-Beauvillier line, continues to learn each other, that they can catch up with the rest. But so far, the numbers suggest that it hasn't been going well.
So, Adam, looking ahead here, another thing that I think has to be noted, and you've started to see it here in the last couple of games, you still have to knock on wood or grab your – or keep your fingers crossed, grab your lucky rabbit's foot, whatever you got.
Four-leaf clover.
And you've got to hope that this is just a year where you get some good fortune with staying healthy, because to this point, I don't think you can complain about how it's fallen. Now, last year, maybe this is a little correcting, because last year they played the last month and a half without Roman Josi. They played the last half of the season almost, or at least third of the season. It was right after the All-Star break is when Philip Forsberg, the first game after the All-Star break, got hurt against Philadelphia, the concussion, and that was it for him. So they had a ton of injuries last year. They've started to have a couple of D-men, Spencer Stastny, Dante Fabro go down. So that is something, right, that can mess with your overall statistical footprint. So you have to hope for the best, and you got to hope that your depth can do the job.
Yeah, the most important thing is when you sort the Predators' games played individually, there are six players who have appeared in every game this season, and four of them are Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Gustav Nyquist, and Roman Josi. Like, that's very important, that none of their star defensemen and their top line, none of those players, again, knock on wood if you'd like, have missed a game yet for this team. That's huge. You know, the other two players who haven't missed a game, Colton Sisson and Jeremy Lauzon. But, yes, you're right. The fact that they haven't had significant injury in terms of missing a key player for a long period of time. As you said, Willie, last year they missed Philip Forsberg for a long time. They missed Roman Josi for a long time. They missed Matt Duchene for a long time. They missed Ryan Johansson for a long time. They injuries definitely caught up to them. Perhaps it's the hockey gods smiling down upon them with favor this year after not doing so much last year. But yes, that is the one thing that can change everything about how a team is playing. But so far, so good for the Predators. They haven't had to deal with too many significant injuries, and their star players have been in every game.
All right, so if I put you on the spot, and let's say for now, because there's still an outside shot. We know how Edmonton can just go for weeks without losing, right? They've done it. They can be very streaky. But let's take them out of the mix, and let's stick with the four that we've talked about. Vancouver, if they hold on to the Pacific, and Nashville would be if they're the two wild card, that's who they could play. And then any of the three that are they're tied at the top of the Central right now, Dallas, Winnipeg, and Colorado. In your mind, what is the best matchup for Nashville if they make it?
It's tough. I mean,
it's a very tough one. We spent a long time debating this away from the rink, Adam, just so you know. I don't know that there's an easy answer.
No, there isn't, because each of those teams has a significant strength. Like, look at Winnipeg, for example. Winnipeg is a great defensive team, and they've got the best goalie in the league, in my opinion, over the course of the full season in Connor Hellebuck. And we know that can change the series for sure. And something tells me that you do not want to face Nathan MacKinnon in the playoffs. I mean, the Predators have done it a couple times. I don't advise doing that. Nathan MacKinnon, having to deal with Nathan MacKinnon for up to seven games, you know, that seems a bit dangerous. That's why I continue to settle on Dallas. I think that Dallas, as I said, great offensive team, deep team. You know, they added Chris Tanev at the deadline. Was it Logan Stankoven, young player, has come in and been incredibly productive for them. And the Predators fans know about Hintz and Pavelski and Robertson. Duchesne's been good for them, all of that. But I do believe that goaltending is an issue for them. And if the, as I said earlier, if the Predators can play as well defensively as they have been over the past month and neutralize Dallas's offense, I think that Jake Oettinger is vulnerable. And I just when I put all of that together, it's not going to be easy. But I think the most advantageous matchup, in my opinion, right now is Dallas.
Okay, so we're going to hold you to that. We'll see. Nashville is 2-2 against Dallas, and of course they had the one that they had won with 15 seconds left, and Dallas scored two goals somehow in the last 15 seconds, which I don't think I've seen. And then of course there was the 9-2 craziness. Nashville won twice in Dallas. Nashville's 2-1 against Winnipeg. They're 2-0 so far against Colorado. They've got to go to Colorado later. They both of the wins are at home, and Vancouver, who I kind of tend to agree, looks like the weakest team on paper to me, but Vancouver has beaten Nashville three times and beaten them all kind of decisively. But that was really before Nashville got in that groove that we've been talking about. All three of those matchups were relatively early in the season. Adam, really good stuff as always. We'll check in again here very soon, and we'll see how this continues to shake out.
Before I go, I have one piece of advice for people filling out their brackets for your bracket challenge.
Take Duke all the way, right?
No, that's a superstitious thing that I don't like to do. I just have to leave you with one thing: A, B, C. Anybody but Carolina.
Okay.
That's my advice.
So there you go, Sparties. D-Mace, take them out in the second round. That's all you got to do.
Hey,
take the Sparties.
Derek, place a phone call to your friend Tom Izzo and tell him to do me a huge favor, okay? I need that.
Hey, we got you. We got you. Don't worry about it. March is no longer – it's not March anymore. It's Izzo. It's the month of Izzo.
It's Izzo time.
Yeah,
it's the
Izzo.
Month of Izzo.
Yeah, the month of Izzo.
All right. Adam, we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Adam Vingan, talking Predators.